This is episode number 21 of the Mary Podcast.
You're listening to the Mary Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com.
I want to live again, and I want to look them straight in the eye, and I want to tell them what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless...
Yeah, there's a lot of bad isms floating around this world, but one of the worst is commercial. Makeup, even in Brooklyn it's the same.
That thing had nine lives, she just spent them all.
Woo! I triple dog dare you!
I don't believe you're an angel. I think you're a demon right out of...
Oh, Henry, don't say that.
Does someone need a hug?
Tomorrow is Christmas. It's practically here.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Sentimental hogwash.
What was the last thing you and Charlie did before you went to bed Christmas Eve?
We shared a bowl of sugar, some shots of brown liquor, played with my shotguns, field dressed a cat, looked for women.
I'm the worst toy maker in the world. I'm a cotton-headed ninny muggins.
My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Doo-doo pedals! Doo-doo! There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
Hello and welcome to this, the 21st episode of the Mary Podcast. My name is Jeff Westover of MyMerryChristmas.com, the world's largest Christmas community online and the internet's longest ongoing celebration of Christmas. The Mary Podcast is produced jointly by the folks who bring you My Merry Christmas and also by our year-round online radio station at Merry Christmas Radio. It is September of 2012, and we're in the mood for Christmas, excited for the season ahead. This episode of the Merry Podcast is brought to you by our friends at MerryStockings.com, a family operation from Minnesota that works year-round on the very best in unique Christmas decorations and Christmas stockings. We take a break from some of the more serious themes we have pursued the last few episodes as we bring a variety of new features and fun contributions to the Merry Podcast. Our theme this time around is the Christmas you don't know, and we hope to share with you some of the fun things about Christmas that you haven't heard before. Radio John D. will share with us plenty of Christmas music like only John can, guaranteed to be stuff you likely have never heard before. Meanwhile, Mary Carey will be sharing Christmas movies you haven't seen or heard about before. Think you can match them for Christmas of the Unusual? You and John and Mary would be hard-pressed to equal what Maureen of the Mary Forums tells us about the Huron Carol, an occasionally heard tune of Canadian Indian origin of haunting beauty. Jay Isherwood from Merry Christmas Radio stops by to share Christmas you definitely don't know by showcasing the Christmas works of new artists featured now at Merry Christmas Radio. Jay also introduces a few of our plans for Christmas in the months ahead, so listen close as we hope to inspire you to join us in some interactive merrymaking online again this year. There's a lot of great music in this episode that should put you in the mood as well, and all this is an episode jam-packed full of a lot of Christmas. We begin on a musical note, this time from Eclipse, in a tune titled This Year.
my darling, the world is sleeping, and I my vigil must keep. Let this music gently calm you, as if all the angels sing, as it snows on a soft wintry day, playing your wintertime games. Holiday cheer and the frost on your ear seem to say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Let your heart know, let your love show, let a smile reach out, making it clear this year. Bells and holly, the world is new now, a wonderland full of delight. Rest in my arms, make a wish on night stars, and magic may happen tonight. As it snows on a soft wintry day, playing your wintertime games. Holiday cheer and the frost on your ears seem to say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Let your heart know, let your love show, let a smile reach out, making it clear this year. Hush, my darling, be still, my darling, safe in your bed as the world fades away. Stars above you shine down with love as they do on that coldest of nights. Sleep so soundly that nothing wakes you from dreams of a new Christmas morn. Let each gift of love remind you that this day the Christ child was born. And Happy New Year. Let your heart know, let your love show, let a smile reach out, making it clear.
You're listening to the Merry Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com.
It's being called the first Canadian Christmas carol. It also goes by the less prestigious title of number 745 in the Anglican hymn book, but to most of us, it's known simply as the Huron Carol. The story begins back in the 1600s, when Canada was still in the process of being discovered. Small groups of people were beginning to make the hazardous journey across the Atlantic to see what was on the other side. Fur traders, explorers, and missionaries all set sail for the New World. Father Jean de Brébeuf was one of these missionaries. He was a French Jesuit priest who chose to live amongst the Huron people and teach them about God. He arrived in 1625 and spent the next 24 years dedicating his life to the Jesuit cause and the people of the Wyandot tribe. It wasn't an easy life. The weather was harsh and extreme. There was constant warring between the Indian tribes and the continual territory competition between the English and the French. His method of teaching and learning, however, was an effective one. The Hurons gave him the name of Échon, which means one who carries burdens or load-bearer. This wasn't a free ride. He had to prove himself on a daily basis. He pitched in and contributed to the community, earning the respect of his native hosts. Brebeuf wrote the Huron Carol in an attempt to convey the Nativity in a way that the Wyandots would recognize and understand. He sought to teach about the birth of Christ by blending the two cultures. Being surrounded by water, trees, and winter, they couldn't comprehend the idea of Bethlehem, dry heat, and desert, so Brebeuf used familiar landscapes. The native people understood nomads, elders, chiefs, and hunters, so that's what the shepherds and the wise men became. Originally entitled Jesus à Hautonia, the Huron words were set to a tune of a French folk song called Une jeune pucelle, a young maid. Bruce Coburn recorded this version on his 1993 album Christmas, and he received instruction in the proper pronunciation of the Huron lyrics. The literal translation of these words do not wholly resemble the version which is popular today. Whilst not straying too far from the original context, the current version is more whimsical in its graphic simplicity. Jesse Edgar Middleton penned the English words as recently as 1926, and with lyrics such as Lodge of Broken Bark, Gitche Manitou, and Rabbit Skins, it more easily conveys the carol's ethnic origins. Father Jean de Brebeuf was martyred by the Iroquois in 1649, and was later canonized by Pope Pius XI in 1930. His relic can be found in the Martyr's Shrine in Ontario, situated not too far from the living museum known as St. Maria Among the Hurons, a reconstruction of the first European settlement on that site. But his spirit lives on, as does the spirit of Christmas, in this classic carol of Christmas, performed for us now by Michel Lindahl.
Thank you. Of all the days in all the year that I'm familiar with, there's only one that's really fun. Correct. Ask anyone, Cole Robinson, or Brown, or Jones, or Smith, their favorite day, and they will say
December the 25th.
Correct.
December the 25th.
Maybe ask December the 25th, the dearest day in all the year. December the 25th. Correct.
We've talked before about how December the 25th became Christmas, and darn if we don't celebrate it every year anyway, but do you know what else happened on December the 25th in history? Christmas Day was the chosen date by General George Washington to cross the Delaware and to engage the British in the Battle of Trenton, an early Revolutionary War battle that inspired the young American nation to fight for independence. Nearly 100 years later, after another series of brutal battles on American soil, President Andrew Johnson, in perhaps the singularly most significant accomplishment of his administration, offered a pardon to all soldiers who fought on behalf of the Confederacy during the American Civil War. And it was also on Christmas Day when combatants fighting in Europe during World War I set out to prove that peace could be given a chance by laying down their weapons on Christmas Day and celebrating what legend has come to call the Christmas Truce. It was also on Christmas Day in 1968 that an impromptu greeting from the astronauts of Apollo 8 resulted in the largest television audience in history up to that point, and won Apollo 8 an Emmy for their Christmas television greetings of that day. Let's take a brief listen.
God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. God saw that it was good. And from the crew of Apollo 8, we close with good night, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good earth.
Christmas Day was historic in 1989 when Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev resigned and effectively dissolved the former Soviet Union, ending an era of Cold War tension. And finally, it was on Christmas Day the next year in 1990 when the World Wide Web launched its first successful trial run, a date Al Gore will never let us forget. We know that December 25th wasn't really Jesus' birthday, but we do know of many who were born on Christmas, including Sir Isaac Newton in 1642. That birthday is shared with Clara Barton of Red Cross fame, who was born on Christmas Day in 1821. Also, Hollywood legend Humphrey Bogart was born on Christmas in 1899, while jazz great Cab Calloway was born on Christmas 1907. Former Egyptian President Anwar Sadat was born in 1918 on Christmas, while Jimmy Buffett, that's Warren's cousin, was born on Christmas in 1946. And no, Jimmy Buffett and Warren Buffett aren't really related. With the preview of new music releasing in 2012, here's Jay Isherwood of Merry Christmas Radio.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. This is Jay Isherwood. I am the programming director of Merry Christmas Radio, the official radio station of MyMerryChristmas.com. Jeff's asked me to talk a little bit about last year's WCLP, or was it WLCP, the world's largest Christmas party. On a date last year, we had a Christmas party that began and ended at the same time all over the world. For 24 hours, our fearless leader, Mr. Jeff Westover, raced around trying to get things together. He got a little sleep in the afternoon, I remember, but overall, he was on our famous site for 24 hours straight, hosting the world's largest Christmas party. Now, what did that entail, you ask? Well, we had discussions about all things Christmas. We had the forums going. We had special things that were written for the day. And for me, the most fun I had was when I was hosting my very first live radio show, where we fielded calls from folks all over the world. We had calls that came in from Maureen in Scotland, as well as some of the good folks down in Alabama and Canada, France, England. It was a very, very good time. And what we got to do is actually share some of the traditions that folks celebrate in the other countries. And we had a good time telling some jokes and making fun of one another and everything that goes along with good friends getting together for a Christmas party. Well, we're going to do it again this year on Sunday, December 16th. Now, the details are still being worked out in terms of times and places and that sort of stuff, but we're going to be doing it all over again. Now, here on Merry Christmas Radio, what we'll be doing is playing the top 100 Christmas hits of the Christmas season of 2012. Now, we did this last year. We played many of the old favorites that people have grown to love, but we also had some surprises that popped up in the top 100. We took turns hosting 10 at a time, Jeff and Radio John D and I, and we got down to number one from 100. And we'll be doing that again this year. So watch the forums, watch My Merry Christmas for your opportunity to vote for the top 100 Christmas hits of the Christmas season of 2012. And join us on Sunday, the 16th of December, as we celebrate once again the world's largest Christmas party. We'll be doing some live radio work again, hosting some calls from hopefully again all over the world, and getting to know each and every one of you who cares to talk to us here at Merry Christmas Radio and take part in this at MyMerryChristmas.com. Now, there were literally hundreds of people involved in this last year, either attending online or calling me on the phone or listening or sending us emails. We took requests for songs. We had folks email us songs that we then played on the radio. It was a little haphazard and a little scary, but we pulled it off, and we're going to do it again this year. So please watch the forums and watch MyMerryChristmas.com for the details of the world's largest Christmas party, which will be taking place on Sunday, the 16th of December. One of the things also that I wanted to introduce here on the new podcast is a new artist section, where we're going to talk about some of the folks that sent us Christmas albums last year. This year as well, but for now we're going to be concentrating on last year. Things that I got to hear for the very first time and really, truly enjoyed. Things that I had not heard before. Things that probably I would not have purchased if it were just left up to me, but a concentrated effort on my part of contacting artists whom I read had new material coming out and asked them to send us a copy of their material, and most did. Some of them even sought us out and sent in some information that we might get the opportunity to play for them. So the first one I'd like to play for you is a gentleman by the name of Toby Mac. Now, Toby Mac is a Christian artist and rap artist, etc. Certainly not a thing that I would grab a hold of and think was a great song. But this one really, really took my breath away. So let me play Toby Mac for you.
Rides off in the sunset, I sweep the snow from my doorstep. I just can't help but stop and grin. It's like I'm 10 years old again. And everywhere I go, I can feel it. Some say it moves like a spirit that falls on us once a year, like it came on a midnight clear. The soul of this season is a gift. When love came down, the last limb. Let's open up and let our hearts embrace this moment. For Christmas this year, we're gonna make a sound, gonna make it loud. For Christmas this year, we're gonna make some noise, let the world rejoice. For Christmas this year, for Christmas this year. The laughter starts before the sunrise. I sneak downstairs to sparkling eyes, and oh, what joy it brings to me. The family around our Christmas tree. And I thank the Lord for His favor as we sing the songs of the Savior. Our Savior. The soul of this season is a gift. When love came down to let us live, let's open up and let our hearts embrace this moment. For Christmas this year, we're gonna make a sound, gonna make it loud. For Christmas
that was the great Toby Mac, as I mentioned beforehand. The album was called Christmas in Diversity, and that song called Christmas This Year. It featured Lee Nash along with Toby Mac, and if you have the opportunity, I highly recommend this Toby Mac Christmas in Diversity CD. The next artist that I want to feature is a gentleman by the name of Dave Barnes, who also sent us a album to play. There's just several songs on here that I truly enjoy. The one I'd like to play for you, though, is called Christmas Tonight. And again, this is Dave Barnes, Very Merry Christmas.
Christmas tree, baby, baby, you and me. We untangled vines and hung some memories.
Suit and tie, places to be tonight. Girl, you gotta know I don't wanna go. It's so toasty warm inside. Baby, let's just light the fire.
But I got a new dress.
Doesn't look real safe to dress.
You bought me that necklace.
We won't know what we're missing
if we don't go out for Christmas tonight.
So much snow. The wind, you know, is bound to blow and mess up your hair, makeup everywhere. Let's don't go.
It's too late. Whatever would we say? We shouldn't break our plans, let down our friends. Baby, you best behave.
Baby, let's just light the fire.
What about the city?
Doesn't look real safe to drive.
But the drive's so pretty.
We won't know what we're missing
if we don't go out for Christmas tonight.
You're looking too good to share.
Maybe our friends won't care.
Baby, we always got next year. Baby, let's just light the fire.
Get the matches.
Doesn't look real safe to drive.
I'll grab some glasses.
We won't know what we're missing if we don't go out for Christmas.
Maybe we should stay in, baby.
Maybe. Won't know what we're missing
if we don't go out for Christmas
tonight.
And again, that was Dave Barnes, and that's from his album, Very Merry Christmas. And by the way, Hillary Scott was featured on that, a duet with Hillary Scott and Dave Barnes. Another guy who I got a real kick out of last year's name was Matt Wirtz. Matt put out an album called Snow Globe, and there's a lot of good songs on this album, but the one that I liked the most was called Snow Globe. So here's Matt Wirtz from his album, Snow Globe, singing the featured song, Snow Globe.
La 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la la la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la, la. There's a window into a magical place where I've always wanted to go. And in my dreaming or in my wake, I don't know, it just feels like home.
Listening to the Merry Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com.
I always enjoy telling my kids the history of the Christmas stocking each year. The Christmas stocking has its roots in the legend of Santa Claus, who was known for bestowing gifts anonymously and hiding them in clever places, such as a stocking hung to dry by the fireplace. It all began when Nicholas, who was serving as a bishop in the ancient city of Myra at the time, heard the plight of a family who was so poor that the father was contemplating the terrible option of selling his oldest daughter into slavery because he could no longer provide for her. Making the story even worse was the fact that she was of marrying age and he had not the money to provide a dowry for her, as the customs of the time required. In the dark of night, the good bishop donned his red cloak and visited the home of this family while they were sleeping, leaving a bit of gold in the largest stocking that had been hung by the fire, a gift that saved the girl's life and that gave rise to our modern tradition of the Christmas stocking. Like Christmas ornaments that grow in sentimental value each year, Christmas stockings have deep meaning for many fans of Christmas. As a kid, I can recall a time when my mom pulled out the sewing machine and we all made our own stockings that year. Regardless of where the stocking comes from in our house, the name of the stocking owner is prominently displayed on each one, just so Santa doesn't miss and put the wrong goodies in the wrong place. We even have a stocking for our dog, Sam. Jake and Natalie at MerryStockings.com understand the importance and the value of the Christmas stocking. That's why they have the internet's largest selection of Christmas stockings, many of them customizable so that Santa can get it right in your house too. Merry Stockings carries a variety of Christmas ornaments and greeting cards and other decorations, but we most highly recommend them for their specialty, and that's, of course, the Merry Stockings of Christmas that you find at MerryStockings.com.
Well, there's a relatively safe place to bail out of that one by Kay Martin and her bodyguards before we get into trouble. Or will we? More on that later. Merry seasonal musical greetings, girls and boys of the Yuletide and fellow members of the Merry Network. Radio John D. here with you on the Merry Podcast and Merry Christmas Radio. Thanks, Jeff, for asking me about the top five Christmas albums I've heard. At any of the four forums associated with the Merry Network, there are always reoccurring threads asking about favorite Christmas music, favorite artist, favorite tune, favorite genre, etc. These threads always catch me off guard, as my favorite anything about Christmas music is always evolving and changing as I dig further into the subject. Jayish opened up a thread a while back at MyMerryChristmas.com about Desert Island Christmas discs, asking about the three and only three we would want along with us if we were stranded in the middle of the ocean on an island with 4 out of 5 dental assistants. Okay, so I made that last part up myself. On this podcast, we've expanded that to include the top 5 Christmas albums we've ever heard. Not surprisingly to me, only one album from my response at that thread is included here. That Kay Martin tune kicking off this segment is off of an album that has never seen the light of the digital age. I Know What He Wants for Christmas contains many songs in like Vegas lounge fashion that would seem risque anyplace else, especially in 1962 when it was released. In fact, the album art alone is worth a second glance, and no, that's not Kay Martin. Don't despair, there's always a twist at the end of each song. When I heard it for the first time back in 2007, the tunes blew my highly teased and tinsel wig clear across the room. One of the out-of-print Christmas charity sites posted it, and serious Christmas music aficionados scooped it up with much enthusiasm. I bet there wasn't a compilation amongst the charity community the next 3 years that didn't contain a cut from Kay's album. A Midnight Christmas Mess from 1984 likewise languished in vinyl. Thanks again to the folks beating their vinyl in the blog shares, I was able to hear this one for the first time over 20 years later and add it to the collection. Among this various artist collection spanning punk, rockabilly, and pop is an artist most closely associated with Halloween. I'm a huge fan of Screamin' Jay Hawkins, and I'm very delighted to keep him out past October the 31st. After all, it's Christmas, a time for giving.
Get down to it. It's Christmas. Time for giving. Merry Christmas. Time for sharing. About you and me, the way it ought to be. It's Christmas.
To my knowledge, this is Screamin' Jay's total Christmas output. Somebody please point me in the right direction if I'm wrong. One of the most overlooked niches in the Christmas music collecting world is charity compilations. Often regional in nature, these works are released as a means to raise money for various organizations during the traditionally generous giving season. Marshall Crenshaw is one of my favorite artists of all time. When I learned that he had recorded a cover of Bob Seger's Sock It to Me Santa that was on a CD entitled A Little Holiday Spark, I had to find it. The United Cerebral, or do you say Cerebral Palsy Center of Metropolitan Detroit, or do you say Detroit, released this various artist with an Area Connection CD in 1996. I'm sure most of you know about Mitch Ryder. He's on it. A kind soul and internet contact living in the area was able to locate a used copy and send it to me.
Thank you.
Capitol Records, one of the biggest names in the business, started issuing an Ultra Lounge series of various artist CDs in 1996, reaching into the vault for tunes recorded in the 1950s and 1960s. Of this currently 24 volumes, three of the CDs are Nothing But Christmas. Christmas Cocktails Part 1 came out that first year in 1996 and followed suit with the series featuring a blend of well-known as well as lesser-known artists of the exotica, space-age pop, jazz, Latin, and lounge genres. Ray Anthony's Christmas Kisses was recorded in 1961. If you are building a Christmas music library, these Christmas cocktails are a must. As you, the listener, have probably figured out by now, I'm a sucker for those compilation albums. Just think of it as my way of cheating to maximize my CD purchases to include more artists. As genres go, I probably lean more toward the blues than anything else. Rhythm and Blues Christmas, 20 songs, came out in 1988 and featured recordings from black artists from the 1950s and 1960s. I'll really go out on a limb here and declare Christmas Comes But Once a Year, recorded in 1960 and released under Amos Milburn's name, as one of my top five Christmas tunes of all time. That's Charles Brown on the vocal. In fact, that was the flip side to Brown's classic, Please Come Home for Christmas. There you have them, dear hearts, the top five Christmas albums I have heard, that is for now. As always, my quest to hear every Christmas tune ever recorded will perpetually alter and revise this list whenever the subject of favorite Christmas music rolls around. Don't forget to tune to Merry Christmas Radio for more meandering and lesser-known Christmas music as heard on the Mistletoe Mix. Thanks again to Jeff Westover for the multicolor-wheeled sandbox known as the Merry Network where we all come to play. You do good work, sir, and you deserve a raise. For the Merry Podcast and Merry Christmas Radio, I'm Radio John D.
Welcome again to the Merry Podcast Screening Room. I'm Mary Carey. The theme of this podcast is The Christmas You Didn't Know. So let's take a look at three Christmas movies you may not know about, but are well worth adding to your holiday playlist. If you're under 40, chances are you don't know our first movie, The Christmas That Almost Wasn't. It's an Italian-American musical released in 1966, that was a staple of kiddie matinees into the 1970s. Kindly Sam Whipple meets a sad-looking Santa Claus early one December.
Wait a minute. If you are Santa, what are you doing here? You're early. Aren't you supposed to be up at the North Pole getting the presents ready for the children?
Christmas is not coming this year.
What? Not coming? Who's going to stop it from coming?
Mr. Phineas T. Prune, and he's just the fellow who can do it, too.
Santa tells Sam that Prune has given him until midnight on Christmas Eve to pay a year's rent, or Santa, Mrs. Claus, and the elves will all be evicted from the North Pole.
Mrs. Santa and I could manage somehow.
Sit down.
Thank you. It's the toys, you see. The Christmas presents I'm worried about. If we don't pay him, then Mr. Prune will take all the presents as payment.
So that's a scheme. No presents, no happy children, no happy anyone, no Christmas. Nice fella, Mr. Prune.
Sam comes up with a plan to pay the rent.
Santa, you and I are going to go to work. We're going to find us a job and earn the money to pay the rent. Come on!
Sam convinces the owner of the local department store to hire Santa Claus, but Santa isn't so sure he can do it.
Why, Santa, what's the matter?
In all my years, I've never seen one single child wide awake. Sam, I can't face them.
But Santa, wait a minute. What will everybody say, that Santa Claus is scared of children? Oh, come on, Santa. Wide awake or fast asleep, they're still children.
But what do I do? What do I say?
Sam gives Santa a pep talk, and he soon warms up to his new job and looks forward to his pay on Christmas Eve. But then Prune dreams up a last-minute surprise that prevents Sam and Santa from paying the rent.
At last! All these years I waited, and now victory's mine! Do you hear that? Victory's mine! A Merry Christmas, I don't think!
Can Sam come up with a new plan in time?
I've been racking my brains, but I still can't come up with any bright ideas.
A miracle, perhaps? I don't know of a better time for a miracle than on Christmas Eve.
Paul Tripp, who plays Sam and also wrote the script and songs, was a pioneer of children's TV programming with a knack for talking to kids on their own level. It's his touch that makes this movie better than many kiddie movies that seem to be written in baby talk. Phineas T. Prune is enthusiastically played by Rosano Brazzi, best known from the film version of South Pacific. His villainy is funny instead of frightening, so don't be afraid to let the toddlers watch.
As for you, Mr. Prune, I think you are just about the meanest man I have ever met.
Do you really? Oh, thank you. Thank you very much indeed. It's very kind of you to say so. I pride myself on my meanness.
Santa Claus is played by Italian actor Alberto Robagliati, but his voice is dubbed in English. This movie has a reputation in some circles as a cheap turkey, but I don't agree. It is economically made, and finicky viewers will quibble over its technical shortcuts. But the film's quirkiness, humor, imagination, and sincere performances lift it above its budget. If you're looking for a lighthearted Christmas movie for the entire family, or for your inner child, give this one a try. It'll boost your Christmas spirit.
All those in favor of having Christmas every day, raise your right hands and say aye!
Aye!
Our next film isn't a Christmas story, per se, but it takes place at Christmas time, involves a lot of Christmas decorating, shopping, and gifts, and includes one of my favorite Christmas scenes. The Shop Around the Corner is a classic 1941 comedy about the professional and personal relationships among the employees of a retail shop in Budapest, Hungary. James Stewart and Margaret Sullivan star as Mr. Kralik and Clara Novak, who can't stand each other.
Imagine you dictating what I should wear.
Well, for heaven's sake, I don't care what you wear. If you want to look like a pony in the circus, it's all right. But I have troubles of my own without your blouse coming between Mr. Matacek and me.
Listen, I sold as much goods yesterday as anybody else in the shop. 95 Tango 50 isn't bad for a rainy Monday 3 weeks before Christmas. Did you tell that to Mr. Matacek?
Yes, I did.
And what did he say?
He said, tell her not to come in that blouse anymore.
Tell him I won't.
I will.
But each is unaware that the other is the anonymous pen pal with whom they're exchanging romantic letters.
Want to hear something nice?
Yes, what is it?
A letter from a girl.
Oh.
My heart was trembling as I walked into the post office, and there you were lying in box 237. Oh, my dear friend.
Well, after a while, we got on the subject of love. Naturally, on a very cultural level.
Well, what else can you do in a letter?
She is the most wonderful girl in the world.
The basic premise is so intriguing that it was remade in 1949 as the musical In the Good Old Summertime, which includes an original Christmas song and a lengthy Christmas party sequence. And the story was updated in 1998 as You've Got Mail. But in many ways, the original is still the best. From stars to supporting players, a top-notch cast brings an ensemble of colorful characters to life. Their superb performances make us care about the characters, warts and all, throughout the movie. Director Ernst Lubitsch was noted for his sly innuendo, but this film proves that he was also capable of bringing sincerity and warmth to a scene. Frank Morgan, of Wizard of Oz fame, plays Mr. Matichek, the dithering boss of the shop. In this scene, he dreads spending Christmas Eve alone after the shop closes for the holiday, and meets another lonely soul, Rudy, the shop's new errand boy, played by Charles Smith.
Mr. Matichek, I don't know how to thank you for that marvelous present. After all, I'm only working here a short time.
Oh, that's all right. Well, now, you better not squander that money. You take it home and give it to your mother, huh?
My people don't live here in town, Mr. Matichek.
Is that so? You mean you're all alone in Budapest on Christmas Eve?
That's right.
Rudy, do you like chicken noodle soup?
I certainly do, Mr. Matichek.
Yeah, and what would you think of roast goose stuffed with baked apples and fresh boiled potatoes and butter and some red cabbage on the side, huh?
I'd love it.
Yeah, and then some cucumber salad with sour cream.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Matichek.
And then a double order of apple strudel with vanilla sauce.
Sounds wonderful.
Yes, well, you're going to have it, Rudy. Come on.
Now, to me, that's a Christmas movie. Our final movie is the most unusual. A Christmas comedy that involves escaped convicts, two not quite accidental deaths, a pet poisonous snake, and gives you a warm holiday feeling. We're No Angels, starring Humphrey Bogart, Peter Ustinov, and Aldo Ray, was released in 1955 and is not to be confused with the 1989 film by the same name. The year is 1895. The place is Devil's Island. Three convicts escape from prison on Christmas Eve morning. They intend to rob Felix Ducatel's general store and then stow away on a ship.
As soon as it gets dark, we'll help ourselves.
The old man might object.
If he gets in our way, it'll be just too bad for him. We'll climb down off his roof and cut his throat for a Christmas present.
Well, that's the kind of thing that could make you stop believing in Santa Claus.
But as the convicts hang around the store waiting for their chance, they become involved in the Ducatel family's troubles.
Ah, look at them. They're prisoners too, like us.
How can people get into such a mess?
The convicts decide to treat the family to a real Christmas celebration.
We'll make a real Christmas of it with a tree and decorations and presents.
You guys get everything ready. I'll go buy a turkey.
Did you say buy?
Well, in honor of the season. May take a little while. First, I have to steal the money.
After a pleasant evening, things go awry when Andre, the store's owner, arrives on the scene, played by the villainous Basil Rathbone.
Maybe I've misjudged you. I'll know tomorrow when we take inventory.
Tomorrow? We're not going to work on Christmas Day.
That way we won't be disturbed. I don't intend to spend the rest of my life here, you know. But I said tomorrow. And now, good night, Felix.
The three convicts decide they don't like Andre.
He's lived too long, that's his trouble. Much too long. Get what's on my mind?
You get what's on his mind?
But in the end, Andre may be his own worst enemy.
What's this?
It's mine.
Don't tell me that. I know better. You convicts aren't allowed to have personal possessions. What's inside it?
A snake.
Don't lie to me. How do you open it? I said, how do you open it?
Why don't I tell him?
The film starts slowly, carefully weaving the plot threads like garlands on a Christmas tree. And keeping up with the plot will keep you on your toes. But you'll be rewarded with plenty of laughs and a new favorite on your don't-miss list of Christmas movies.
Well, things don't work out right. Do it all over again next year.
In recent years, all three of these movies have been available in the United States on DVD and on television. So if you haven't seen these films yet, it's easy to add them to your viewing list. From the Merry Podcast Screening Room, This is Mary Carey. Happy holiday viewing.
As we leave you now, we invite you to join us again here on the Merry Podcast for more fun and merriment on our next episode, which, given the time of year, will be out much sooner than you expect as the news and features for Christmas continue to pile up on us as we gear up for the season. We would like to acknowledge the many talents that have contributed to this episode and invite you to enjoy their full offerings over at Merry Christmas Radio. We thank the Merry Crew of Merry Christmas Radio and Jay Esherwood, Radio John D, and Dr. Barry Graham, plus Mary Carey and Maureen of the Merry Forums of My Merry Christmas. We also thank the following artists for their contributions this time around. That would be John Schmidt and Bruce Cockburn, Celtic Ladies featuring Michelle Lindahl, Eclipse screaming Jay Hawkins, K-Star, Charles Brown, Toby Mack, Kay Martin, Marshall Crenshaw, Dave Barnes, and Matt Wirtz. We also wish to acknowledge our sponsor of this episode, MerryStockings.com. For MyMerryChristmas.com and the Merry Podcast, this is Jeff Westover wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas.